grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Lord, I'm down here trying to do what's right. I still think I'm right. I'm here taking a stand for what I believe is right. But Lord, I must confess that I'm weak now. I'm faltering. I'm losing my courage. Now I am afraid. And I can't let the people see me like this. Because if they see me weak and losing my courage, they will begin to get weak. The people are looking to me for leadership. And if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I'm at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I can't face it alone. Just after midnight on January 27th, 1956, so 65 years ago next week, a 27-year-old man prayed that prayer in his kitchen at his house at 309 South Jackson Street in Montgomery, Alabama. He was the pastor at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery and had been serving there for only 2 years. The reason he prayed the prayer was not because of problems in the congregation, though. It was because he was getting death threats. When he had first arrived in Montgomery, he had no plans to be involved in anything that would put his life on the line. However, at the urging of a fellow pastor friend in the area, he became the president of the Montgomery Improvement Association, the group that was leading the Montgomery bus boycott, inspired by Rosa Parks and her refusal to give up her seat. This man, Martin Luther King Jr., reluctantly accepted the role as the new president of the MIA, thinking that the bus boycott would be over quickly. However, it lasted just over a year. On January 23rd, 2 months after Parks refused to give up her seat, King offered his resignation as president to the MIA board, but they refused to accept it. King was full of self-doubt and worry, wondering if all of the work he was doing was any good at all. A few days later, at his house, he received a call in the middle of the night with a death threat to him and his family. The caller said, "Listen, we've taken all we want from you. Before next week, you'll be sorry you ever came to Montgomery. We're tired of your mess. And if you aren't out of this town in 3 days, we're going to blow up your house and blow your brains out." King hung up the phone without saying a word to the caller. Emotionally shaken, he paced the floor, made himself some coffee, and prayed that prayer of desperation, really wanting to give up his cause. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And usually when we think of King, we think of him as this rock-solid man, like the Stone of Hope statue of him in Washington, D.C. But he was still human like the rest of us, right? He had his worries and his self-doubts. And because of that, I couldn't help but think of him and his prayer when I read today's first reading about Samuel and Eli. Right, of course, the first part of this reading is a famous one. Right, the boy Samuel thinks that his mentor Eli is calling him in the middle of the night. So he wakes him up a few times, only for Eli to tell him to go back to bed. But we need a little bit of background here to set up this scene. According to the Jewish historian Josephus, Samuel was probably around 12 years old at this point, and he had been living with Eli since he was 3, when his mother Hannah committed him to God's service. Now, Eli already had 2 sons of his own, Hophni and Phinehas. They were also priests, but they were not doing what they were supposed to do. To be more specific, they were stealing the best portions of the sacrifices for themselves. And they were sleeping around with the women who guarded the tent of meeting. Their father, Eli, who was the leading priest at the time, didn't really do anything to stop them. He knew that what they were doing was wrong, and he did give them one verbal slap on the wrist, but he didn't do anything beyond that. So basically, these 3 guys were not the best role models for young Samuel to be following. And so it makes sense why, at the start of the reading, we hear, "The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread." Eli and his sons were supposed to be the ones who listened to God and did what God wanted. But they were clearly more interested in just doing their own thing. So God calls Samuel in the middle of the night. Of course, Samuel thinks it's Eli at first, because, honestly, who really expects God to call him? Especially when visions were not widespread. But soon, Eli realizes that God must be the one calling Samuel. He tells Samuel to go back to bed, and then say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And it's right around there at verse 10 that we usually stop this reading. We tend to focus more on Samuel learning to listen to God than the message that God wants Samuel to deliver. So we need to keep reading. God tells Samuel a word of judgment against Eli and his sons, saying that they will not be able to cleanse themselves from their sins that they've committed. Or in other words, God calls them horrible leaders and basically says they're fired. Verse 15 then calmly says, "Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli." Like Martin Luther King Jr. many years later in the middle of the night, Samuel was full of self-doubt in the middle of that night too. He was afraid of delivering this message that he was supposed to say. He couldn't sleep at all the rest of that night after hearing that message from God. He lacked the courage to do what he knew was right. And sometimes we get scared too, when we're called to do the right thing. Even though we're not as famous as Martin Luther King Jr. or the prophet Samuel, people still look to us too. Like maybe someone is looking to you to be a leader, or to say something inspiring. Maybe they look to you for advice or guidance. Maybe they just want you to be their rock when they're having a bad day. But inside, you are still full of your own fears and insecurities. And you don't want to show your weakness, because, as King said, "If they see me weak and losing my courage, they will begin to get weak. Right? So you put on a facade that you have it all together. You say, oh, I'm just fine, thanks, but inside you feel like you're falling apart. However, King kept going. But how? Because he heard the voice of Jesus. As King tells the story, after he prayed that prayer in the middle of the night, he heard Jesus say to him, Martin Luther, stand up for righteousness. Stand up for justice. Stand up for truth. And lo, I will be with you, even until the end of the world. As King put it, I heard the voice of Jesus saying still to fight on. He promised never to leave me. This was a pivotal moment in King's life. It gave him the strength and the courage he needed to keep on going. In the same way, the next morning, Samuel delivered the news of his vision to his master Eli, because he knew that God was with him. Then Eli, realizing that he and his sons had been seen by God, simply said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Then the final verses of the reading say this. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. None of his words fell to the ground. Nothing Samuel said was worthless or ineffective. Today, many people consider Martin Luther King Jr. to be a modern-day prophet, like Samuel, proclaiming the word of God in the face of injustice, corruption, and sin. And they think that none of his words fell to the ground either. But he's not the only one. We are called to be those voices too. We see plenty of injustice and corruption and sin in our world. We see plenty of leaders who cause trouble, or who, like Eli, don't step in to intervene when others are causing trouble. And sometimes we're scared to say something. Sometimes we feel like it's a lost cause. Oh, sure, we'll see events play out on TV and we'll make our voices known online or to the people around us. We act like we're armchair news commentators. But really, we wonder if it does any good to change the world. However, this self-doubt reminds us that, like Martin Luther King Jr. and like Samuel, we are human. We cannot do this on our own. We cannot change the world on our own. Each of us is just one person. But, also like them, God is with us. God is with you. God is speaking to you. Whether it's at your kitchen table or in the middle of the night, whether it's by yourself or with others, whether it's through scripture or through prayer, God is calling you to be a voice of change in this world. Yes, you may be scared. Yes, you may feel like giving up. Yes, you may wonder if what you're fighting for is really worth the fight. But know this. God has called you to this task. And God will give you the strength to keep going. Speaking out for God is always right. As King heard in his kitchen, stand up for righteousness. Stand up for justice. Stand up for truth. And lo, I will be with you, even until the end of the world. Because God is with us, we now have the courage to say, like Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In the name of the one who is God's life-changing word incarnate, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.